If you missed the show,
check out Montreal's number one morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
All right, how many previous partners is too many? We got an email from Erica in Pointe Claire.
Yeah, it reads, "Hi, Nikki, Sam, and Andy. I've been dating a guy for about a month. I'm 35 years old and don't tend to worry too much about the number of people that guys have dated or hooked up with. But my brother used to play hockey with this guy, and he told me that he once told him and his teammates that his number is well over 100. This concerned me a little bit, obviously. Now I'm not sure if he's a player and if it's not an easy top, and it's not an easy topic to bring up. Should I be concerned, or do you think I'm overreacting? Thanks, Erica in Pointe Claire."
All right, like, first of all, she's like, "I heard it from my brother who used to play hockey with a guy, like, in the dressing room." I'm like, do we even know if that's true?
Yeah, the guys do tend to embellish around their buddies in a locker room. Just say that for now.
Even if you divide that number in half, though, I mean, it's still more than most people, I would say, or most guys.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Why? What's your number?
Oh.
I will never tell you. I haven't even told my girlfriend. It's private.
You haven't had that conversation.
I told her. It's not too little. It's not too much. It's right in the sweet spot. But other than that, why does she want to know?
I mean, so like, you actually think this is a bit of a red flag?
I mean, yes. Look, when you get up to the triple digits, like, you have to either this is a guy that is you know, really on the scene and really needs to get the job done, or he just sleeps around a lot. Like, I don't know, like, how many relationships is this? I mean, even if you have a partner once a month, which is a lot for most people, like, you're talking about like 10 years with a different partner almost every month.
Yeah, but people change, you know? Like, let's say, hypothetically, this is true, and truthfully, I don't believe it is true. Like, I think she has to have a conversation with him, like, especially because this is going to be in the back of her mind now forever.
But just know how to broach the conversation.
Yeah, like, hey, were you a jerk back in the day? Like, how many people have been in your bed? I would definitely want to have that conversation. Even if it is true, I do believe that people change. I mean, we saw that ridiculous number of Lamar Odom. He had slept with over like 2,000 people or something. Like, that's crazy. And if there's an issue like that, you have to like take that into consideration, because maybe he has some sort of like weird addiction or something.
Yes.
But in this case, I'm like, maybe he was single for a lot of years. You know, he went out and did his thing. People change. I just wouldn't want her to dump somebody because of their past necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely not have the conversation of how many people have you slept with. I would definitely stay away from that actual
conversation.
Because that's, you know what, because it's a no-win conversation. I think if you want a truthful answer, you're probably not going to be happy. And if you want him to lie, well, then you're not going to be happy with a lie either. What I would be more concerned about is how many real relationships has the guy had? Because if you're 35, it sounds like Erica's looking for a real relationship. If he's had like no real relationships or just one or two, and he's 35 years old as well, that might be more of a red flag to me than how many people that you've slept with.
How is one or two real relationships worse than somebody who's had like 85 and can't keep one alive and healthy?
Because there might or might not show your maturity level in a relationship. If you've had no real relationships and you're 35 years old, let's just say all you've done is sleep around with person to person to person, you don't know necessarily what it takes to make a relationship work.
But neither has somebody who's been divorced four times by the time they're 35 years old. That's why I never really get that argument.
But you don't know he's been divorced four times.
I don't think it's a bad thing if you've only been in one or two like serious relationships. Maybe you just know yourself really well.
But that's why you want to have the conversation. How many real relationships have you had? So you don't ask how many people have you slept with. Maybe you want to know how many real relationships, hard actual relationships.
I would want to know the number. I would want to. It says a lot about a person. Honestly, it says a lot about their past.
You want to know the number, but do you really? I mean, women want to be with guys that are desired.
A ballpark,
that are
for sure. Ballpark, somebody could be a virgin. Somebody could have slept with one person.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody could have, it could be over 2,000 like Lamar Odom.
You know, that question just doesn't end there. It's, you know, once you ask the question, it's, oh, well, you know, how many different partners and was there a certain type and this and that, and you want to get to the bottom of every single one of them.
I could handle it.
Guys don't want to be asked those questions.
Of course they don't.
We're in the moment. Someone made a good point on our text line. If I found out that my partner had over 100 partners, the first question I would have is, will you get tested? Moving forward, you know.
It's honestly a very good point. Jen said, with men, you have to go to the rule of three, whatever their number. Women divide by three, basically. So
it's true. And then men add a three on.
So if he said it was over 100, it was probably like maybe closer to 30 or something. Here's the thing, though. I think the number is, not that the number is important, but that history in a partner is important. These are things that like me and my friends talk about. Why would I know these things about my friends and not the person I'm about to marry. It just seems odd to me. And I don't believe that it matters that much. I think people can change. I'm not really worried about a super high number.
Are you an open book, though? Would you reveal your number?
Absolutely.
And how quickly into a relationship would you reveal it?
5 years. You know me.
You know me. Takes a while to build up to it.
You know me and commitment, Sam. All right, Andrew, do you care how many partners your significant other has had?
No, not really.
Not at all? You wouldn't be curious to know that number?
No. Well, we always end up saying age is a number, and we move on from that. What my partner did previously doesn't really matter what we're doing now.
I don't disagree. However, we wouldn't be in a relationship with somebody without knowing their age. You know it. Like, we can choose whether it's going to be an issue or not.
Yeah, but we don't care about it, though. We don't care about it.
Some people do.
Right.
But it says a lot about the person. Like, you have to learn about the person. That's what I think. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I'm just curious. I'd want to know it about everybody. Friends, family.
Well, I guess, but I don't know. For me, it really doesn't matter. I don't think it's the most important thing. I think it's much more important that they're nice and sweet and caring as opposed to how many people they've slept with.
Well, they can be all those things, Andrew, but what if the number is in the triple digits? You wouldn't want to know. You'd be okay not ever knowing that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I really don't think it would bother me at all.
5,000 people, no problem.
Well, okay, let's not push it.
Okay. Andrew, I thought it was just a number.
You know, the fellow we were talking about was, I think you said about 100 people?
Yeah, so, no,
it really doesn't matter.
Okay, cool. Thanks for chatting with us this morning.
Sure.
Have a good one. Okay.
Bye.
All right, Faith, curious to know what you think.
Depends on the amount. If it's less than, 50, then... But also depends if they've been in relationships or if it's just, casual things and, why they're, haven't been in a relationship or why they've only been in casual things.
Right, so you'd want to know, right? You'd have questions.
Yeah, because if you can't ask them, then, why are you with them? Like, I don't know. I feel like communication is so key. And if you can't ask a simple question like that and you can't be open and honest with the person you're with, then should you really be with them?
So you basically preface your question by saying, listen, I only want to know the answer if it's between 20 and 30.
if it is not twice. If it's more than my ideal number, then I'm going to ask questions of it. It's not going to make me not necessarily want to date the person. Right. I just want to know why.
You'll just have more questions.
Absolutely.
And just have a conversation about it. And obviously, they can ask me my questions too. Maybe my number is my ideal for them.
Okay. And for the record, Faith, what is your ideal number when it comes to a partner?
I would say less than 20.
Less than 20.
Less than 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Thank you so much. Hope you have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Do you guys want to know what the Canadian averages are?
Yes.
Okay. Well, first of all, this is a hilarious text. It says, teenage stupidity. In high school, my friends and I had a contest to have 18 partners by our 18th birthday.
Oh, that is
poor. She said, not brilliant. Okay. So Canadian averages when it comes to the number of partners, men say that they've had about 23 partners in their lifetime. And Canadian women say they've had about 10 partners in their lifetime. Here's the thing. There's conflicting information all over the internet. I actually did a lot of research on this, and it's because nobody tells the truth.
Exactly.
Everybody's lying about it.
If a guy's number's on the lower scale and he wants to impress a girl, and then a girl asks him, you don't want to low-end yourself, right? You're going to pad your number.
Of course. What was that number for men? 23?
23.
So what's 23 divided by 3?
7 and a third.
There you go. That's the real number.
Tell the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
So she definitely shouldn't dump him, right? She just shouldn't just go out and dump him because...
Have the conversation. And get to know the quality. It's the quality, not the quantity at the end of the day.
You know what? Throw them on a lie detector. That's what I would do.
Oh, God. 1 month in. Totally normal.
Montreal's most listened to morning show on the go.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
All right, it's a new season, and there's one astrological sign that always seems to celebrate this more than other zodiac signs. Did you guys ever notice that?
No, not really. You haven't noticed it?
You haven't noticed all the memes of people saying Gemini season?
Well, I mean, my theory about Geminis is that, and it's not my theory, I think it's fact that Geminis are the most temperamental, craziest.
That's not true.
Really? What?
I read that in several places online.
I'm going to ignore that. That's a Cancer right there saying that.
Cancers are not that far behind, but Geminis, I think, take the cake.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. I literally, we'll get to that, Sam.
Okay.
I literally was in the post office and had to show my ID, and they were like, a happy Gemini season. Maybe I'm just noticing it because I'm a Gemini, but I don't notice people walking around being it's Virgo season. I don't know if Geminis are just more narcissistic or... what it is.
That too, yeah.
Gemini season is here. Did you feel the energy of the full moon this weekend? Did you guys notice that?
Not really.
You guys are the worst. I talked about this on my Instagram story. I asked, like, who has noticed the energy of this full moon because it was in Scorpio and it was, like, crazy intense. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, 90% of people said, oh, my God, I was so emotional this weekend. I had no idea why.
I just want to go back for a sec. So the full moon was in Scorpio. So I'm a Scorpio, but what is that? The full moon is in Scorpio. What does that mean? Because Scorpio is not till like, October,
right? Doesn't really mean anything to you. It was just that for you as a Scorpio, it's just the sun and the moon are constantly moving in and out of cycles all year long.
Okay.
So this is like Gemini as in like the zodiac sign season. So as we know, Geminis have their birthdays starting now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Gemini season actually happens to be really fun, not only for Geminis, okay? It's basically like one big long party. And this is not only good news for Geminis. Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius benefit the most from Gemini season this time around. Gemini is like the chattiest. It's the most extroverted sign. And they're really fun and like social. Geminis, basically. So they said it's a really good time for everybody, again, not just Geminis, to say yes to a first date, maybe ask for a raise. It's a good time to do that because you're very social. Your energy is going to be vibing good with other people, or even like strike up a conversation with a stranger. Geminis are really open-minded. So the idea of accepting other people's perspectives and expanding our horizons, it's in the air right now. And it's bringing a ton of positivity for the next month too. So you can avoid Gemini's darker sides because I guess Geminis aren't perfect either.
What's a Gemini's darker side?
Geminis can be very indecisive.
Okay.
They can lack decision-making skills. They can be anxious as well. Sometimes they bite off more than they can chew, so that can like result in anxiety. They get bored easy too, and to a lot of people that can be seen as like lack of direction because they're just like over things very quickly.
And according to Sam, they're crazy.
They're not crazy.
Very typical of Geminis. So obnoxious. They have to have their own month to celebrate.
Oh, my gosh.
And
okay.
Boast about how great they are.
Oh my gosh.
And have parties all month long.
Kim, Karen, do you have anything against Geminis?
No, I have a brother that's a Gemini.
And?
Yeah, he scares me.
Go ahead.
All right, we want to know what the crazy astrological sign is, and we're getting so many texts this morning at 92925. It's because it's Gemini season, and I feel like as soon as it's Gemini season, people start celebrating. Like, you just see that everywhere.
Why do only the Geminis do
this? I don't
know.
I just don't. I don't tend to, like, I don't think I've ever seen anything that says Aries season.
Right.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it is just because I'm a Gemini. I don't know. But Sam seems to think that Gemini is the craziest astrological sign.
The internet says so. I don't make this stuff up.
You didn't read that on the internet.
I did.
Does anybody agree on our text line at 92925?
Yeah, I mean, well, this Caroline says you don't seem crazy, Nikki, but still, Geminis in general are crazy. Okay, maybe just the guys.
See, yeah, true. It can be different between men and women and how the astrological signs manifest too.
True.
Alana, what do you think?
Female Scorpios.
Female Scorpio.
Oh, yeah, female.
My best friend is a female Scorpio.
Yeah, my last three ex-best friends in my whole lifetime have been Scorpio.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So I attract them, but then it's just something goes wrong. And I'm a Pisces, so I don't know, maybe it's the mix.
You know, I love her. Obviously, she's my best friend, but I will say she's honestly one of the only friends who I can't, like, tell it like it is. Do you know what I mean? Like, mostly I'm pretty, like, open and just, like, say what I think. But with her, I'm like, I don't want to open that can of worms.
Why female Scorpios over male Scorpios? What's the difference?
Well, I've known some male Scorpios, and we get along fine.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know, female Scorpios or something about them.
What about male cancers? They're the worst.
Oh, okay. We're stretching here.
I'm married to one, and he's awesome.
Thank you.
I only said that because Sam is a Cancer.
I'm a water sign, and water signs go together.
True. A lot of emotions there are happening.
Yes.
Yes. Thanks, Alana. Have a good one.
Okay, bye.
Emily agrees with you. She's a Gemini, and she says that my birthday's tomorrow, and I am everything you just described.
Oh yeah? About the negative traits, too?
Everything.
Yeah. There's good and bad with every astrological sign, okay?
Right. Happy birthday.
All right. We're going to get to the craziest astrological sign coming up right after we talk to Alex. Alex, which sign do you think is craziest?
It's Gemini, 100%.
Oh.
It's Gemini.
Alex.
I didn't make this up.
Why?
My sister's Gemini. My girlfriend's a Gemini. They both are tough characters.
They're characters.
Very tough. They're hard to deal with, but my sister, I dealt with her for 25 years, so I think she would be a better person, that's for sure.
Tell me, though, they are not the most fun to be around.
I agree, they're the most social.
Well done.
Yeah, I can say that.
All right, what's your astrological sign?
I'm a Virgo.
Oh, the worst.
The best of the time in the world.
Yeah, Virgo, you're always right about everything, aren't you?
I wouldn't say, but yeah, I'm pretty right most of the time.
I dated a Virgo once.
There you go.
All right, Alex, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Have a great day.
You too. Okay, so Andy, your astrological sign is?
Scorpio.
Right? And Sam is a Cancer, and I'm a Gemini. So I mentioned that I did like a little poll on my Instagram yesterday asking people what the craziest astrological sign was. The top four, I would say, Scorpio, Gemini, Leo, and Virgo. Is what people said for
so
the most part.
Not Cancer.
There were a couple cancers.
A couple.
But I did some research and there wasn't a lot of research. So I had to sort of like just find bits and pieces from different places. And this is the quote that I found on multiple websites. Okay.
Okay.
I figured I would go with the astrological sign that has been arrested the most. That's a good sign.
That's a good telltale sign.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So I saw this quote, multiple websites. It said, based on the information from the FBI, Cancer are the most arrested criminals. Google it. Yes. That is on the internet multiple
so
places.
So that means the state of Florida is filled with cancers.
Sorry, Sam.
Ouch. Well, that's kind of hot, right? I'm like a bad boy now.
Most likely to get arrested.
Yeah, sure.
That's what you want to think.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast.
All right, so there's a certain time of day when you're both mentally and physically at your absolute best, and we're taking your texts this morning at 92925. Okay, so what time of day do you guys believe you are at your best?
I'm going to say, I know this is probably the case for a lot of people, right before I go to bed, like 10:30 at night, my brain's firing on all cylinders.
It's always the way, right?
Right, and I never want to sleep, so I'm going to say like, you know, let's say 10:30 at night.
Okay, Andy says 10:30 at night.
You need to shut your brain off better at night.
Yeah.
People can't do that sometimes,
but
you know.
I don't know because you're supposed to be, like, sleeping and you're supposed to be doing something you can't do, I don't know if that means it's that you're at your best, necessarily.
Well, I feel fantastic.
your brain is going. I don't know if it's your best moment, though.
I'll go for more like 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, once you've gotten over your little, sleepy phase, you've had your second coffee, you're sort of inspired by the rest of the day, the night, you sort of...
Normally, when people are crashing, though,
You crash around 2, then you doze off a bit, and you wake up, and then you're like good to go.
So the workday's over. You're looking forward to going home, having some dinner, maybe some drinks. Okay,
there you go.
It's not over quite enough. It's not close enough. The end of the day, hour can feel like 5 hours. Kim, Kieran, best time?
Probably while I'm sleeping.
That's fair. We got a text at 92925 that says the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, people say first thing in the morning, the brain is at its peak. I guess you're freshest when you're first waking up. Yeah.
Kim says, I'm at my best right now. Rest of the day is downhill.
It's all downhill from here.
So sad.
That's 814 for that, Kim, on our text line at 92925. All right, so there's actually Canadian research, and they say that there is a certain time of day when we're both mentally and physically at our absolute best, and it's different for early birds and night owls, okay? So first, you just have to decide whether you're an early bird or a night owl.
You, Nikki, you're a...
I'm naturally... I mean, we get up super early, but I am also naturally an early bird.
Naturally,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I am. Okay. Andy, you are...
I mean, I'm an early bird because we have to be, but on the weekends, I'm the exact opposite. I'm a night owl for sure. Right. I think I would be a night owl if I didn't work these jobs, too.
Yeah. Sam is neither.
I'm neither. But,
Well, you've been known to take 2 different naps in the afternoon.
I don't know which way is up.
All right, so if you're an early bird, you ready for this? They say your peak performance time is 9 a.m., and I completely agree with that. When I have a day off or I'm at home, I can have, like, my whole day done by 10:30 and, like, ready to watch the view. Good to go.
And what time are you waking up when you don't have to be up early?
6:30 probably.
Okay, so it gives you enough time to get into your day.
Yeah.
You've already had your
As
coffee.
I get older, it gets a little earlier and earlier, I find, when I get up.
Oh, man.
So
you're going to be hitting the early bird specials before you know it.
Okay. Settle down. So 9 a.m. if you're an early bird.
Okay.
If you're a night owl, your peak performance time is 9 p.m.
Like
12 hours later. They said, so for early birds, 9 a.m., 9 p.m. for night owls, you want to do home repairs, tackle work assignments. You want to take care of other projects at that time because they're going to be easier and you'll get them done faster at that time.
Who gets anything done after 9 p.m.? The only thing I get done is like beers and maybe some munchies and Netflix. Like,
I'll tell you, there are 2 types of people who get a lot done after 9 p.m. Number one, moms. Am I right, Kim? Because you have to once the kids
are
in bed.
All done.
Exactly. So you're doing dishes, you're doing laundry, you're getting lunches together for the next day, you're preparing.
Right.
Number two is rappers. I think they do all their best work after 9 p.m.
True.
They do.
I have to choose a different profession. I think that's the answer.
The Nikki, Sam, and Andy Replay Podcast. Online at thebeat925.ca. Or subscribe on iTunes and Google Play. And live weekday mornings starting at 5:30. Montreal's perfect mix. The Beat 92.5.